On this episode of the Practical Guidance Labor and Employment Series, we speak with attorney Tim Taylor. Tim returns to us after a recent episode. He is a practical guidance author and an employment and litigation attorney in Holland & Knight's Virginia office. Today, we will be discussing the metaverse and its current implications to L&E. I'm your host, Kevin Hilton. I'm an attorney with LexisNexis. To learn more about LexisNexis Practical Guidance Research Solutions, visit lexis.com. Lexis Practical Guidance gives you insights to support what you do. Tim, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me for the Practical Guidance podcast today once again.
There's obviously quite a bit going on within the metaverse with so much development happening on a daily basis. I wonder if you have any thoughts on considerations for employers as they're facing all of this.
I think it's important to understand what we're talking about when we say the metaverse. It's a bit of a buzzword, and it, you know, means many things to many people. I want to distinguish it from a couple things which I don't think necessarily characterize what the metaverse is. It's not necessarily the world of blockchain and crypto and NFTs. It's also not necessarily, you know, virtual reality and headsets and all that stuff. But when I think of the metaverse, I think of very large, heavily populated online platforms that offer immersive experiences. And probably the biggest three metaverses at this point are all in the gaming space. And if you have kids or if you're a kid at heart, you might be familiar with, for example, Fortnite or Roblox or Minecraft. So those are some of the metaverses that I think of, where people are really actually doing a lot of working and a lot of playing. And over time, we're seeing more and more that they are doing commerce, they are doing business there. And so right. I think these are kind of the foundation of what the metaverse is and what it's going to be becoming over the next several years, and frankly, probably decades.
So when you say there's business going on within this area, what exactly do you mean?
What I mean is that there are companies setting up virtual shop in the metaverse. For instance, there are a lot of large name brand Fortune 100 companies that have set up virtual storefronts in these metaverse platforms, right? If you think back, let's go back 20 years to kind of the beginning of, you know, the real internet, and companies started setting up websites. And then 10 years later, you had social media and you had companies starting to set up Facebook pages and Twitter accounts and Instagram pages. And now we're seeing in the 2020s, companies starting to set up virtual storefronts in these virtual worlds. So you can have your player, your avatar, go and buy some virtual Nike shoes. And it costs not so virtual money for those. You know, Chipotle set up a burrito shop, and you could actually go and kind of play their make a burrito game and then get a token for a real burrito. And so you're going to have employees working.
Hold on for one second. So you're saying that Chipotle was then basically you were getting to construct a burrito, and then you were getting a token for an actual burrito to cash in, essentially.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. So it's fun. So it's a great promotional platform. Great IP.
So
platform.
Interesting. Cause I've heard about, there's the whole, on the IP side, all of the ways that people are buying virtual memberships and virtual yacht clubs but this is interesting how it's intersecting with brick and mortar business, I guess.
Yeah. And again, there's kind of this whole world of these decentralized metaverse platforms with the NFTs and all that.
Right.
I think what you're seeing companies really gravitating towards are these large, better regulated, and I think in some ways more traditional platforms, like the Roblox, like Roblox, like Fortnite and so on.
Right.
To be a place where, not only where they can better protect their intellectual property, but where they can, do a lot of business,
with monetize
Roblox.
It.
Roblox sent out a stat. This is stunning to me, for instance. They say 75% of American children between 9 and 12.
Uh-huh.
75% of them.
I think it's probably true, and that's insane.
Yeah. And think, they're 9 to 12 now, but in 10 years, they're going to be 19 to 22. And then they're going to have some real spending power, right? And some real influence in marketing and everything else. So this is, you know, I think this is going to be a major growth area. And so companies are, of course, very interested in it and trying to figure out how to leverage it.
And you mentioned Nike, too. I'm curious about what was going on with that. I know these are details of specific situations, but I'm curious of how they engage. The Chipotle thing is a cool marketing ploy.
Right. So Nike has it's literally just called Nike Land. And you bring your avatar there and you can explore all these things in Nike Land. And while you're there, you can buy a virtual Nike shirt or virtual Nike shoes and so on. And it's with the platform's currency, but the only way you can get currency is with real dollars, right?
So, right.
You know, there's real business going on.
So what are some of the practical implications of this for employers then?
Sure. Sorry, I just want to do one little aside on this as
well. Yeah, go for it.
Demographically, we often think, you know, video games and internet and that kind of stuff is male dominated. But Roblox, for instance, is about 50-50, actually.
Really?
Just as many women, girls on there as men and boys. So, you know, again, that's an interesting thing. Now, for employers, to get to your question, here are a few questions I think that people ought to be thinking about. Because, again, just like you have employees who do service on websites, you have employees who do most of their work through social media, including directly conversing with customers and so on. Here's some things you ought to be thinking about. Does your insurance cover what you do on metaverse platforms? Huh. You know, if you have employees commit some kind of misconduct, you know, harassing customers or harassing a fellow coworker or committing fraud or whatever it might be, you know, is that clearly covered in whatever sorts of insurance coverage you have for your employees, you know, malfeasance and torts? Similarly, do your company's policies and handbooks address metaverse activity? Because it opens up all sorts of interesting possibilities for bad things. Here's a really interesting one, kind of a fun one. What policies does your company have around your employees' avatar appearances?
Oh my.
Again, you can make your avatar look like anybody or anything, and you can see how there could be, issues around discrimination and issues around, you know, transgender employees and everything else, depending on how you choose your avatar to look. Interestingly, there's rapidly evolving technology whereby I think in some near time in the future, this may be a non-issue because it'll just be able to kind of 3D scan yourself into the metaverse. But anyway.
Are people going to want to do that? That's interesting. I guess some will.
That's another question, right? Is do you want to do that? And that raises all sorts of privacy concerns. And I think it'd be very uncomfortable for certain folks.
There's probably a whole, how people will want to present themselves and then how they will want to digitally alter themselves will also be a whole other business,
right,
probably.
Right. I'm going to have the biggest, thickest head of hair in the metaverse.
Right. You're funny. That's so interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
So from the employee's perspective, you're speaking now of, I guess, employers and their liability for their employees now engaging in the metaverse via an avatar, just to clarify, and the potential for how they are depicting themselves via their avatar.
Yeah, so those are some issues. But there are a lot of others. There's obvious ones. This is kind of pandemic stuff, right, that first started showing up. Things around, you know, immigration, around remote work, jurisdiction, like where are your employees?
Yeah.
Where they're doing all this stuff. There are some really, really practical ones around worker safety and health, especially if you start using these headsets, you know, for training or for, you know, extended metaverse use, you know, just because some people there have been anecdotal reports. Some people feel nauseous after a while. Some people feel dizzy. You get headaches or, you know, if they're too heavy. What about what about employees with disabilities that might not be able to use one?
Right.
There's with every new kind of wave of technology, right? There's just a broad swath of these sorts of issues that arise with it.
That's interesting. So the use of like Bluetooth, like heavier headsets has caused has caused issues. That's interesting.
Yeah, and again, it hasn't really been a big deal because most use so far has been either for limited training or just for fun. But these headsets are getting much, much better. You may have heard about how Apple is creating one.
Yeah.
You can see in the near future where these become much more used, right? Like 20 years ago, everybody didn't walk around with a cell phone in their pocket. And maybe 10 years from now, everyone's going to wear a pair of, light plastic glasses with
goggles. Yeah.
With nuclear reactor powered metaverse goggles on them. I don't know. But that could be something commonplace 10 years from now. Who knows?
Got it. So you're speaking also of the goggles as well as the headsets creating some of the issues. That's interesting.
I just mean generally.
Yeah. I get it. These are potential issues that could come out of this.
Just with wearable technology of that kind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so those are some of the issues that I think are going to be emerging. There's not a whole lot of litigation on these things now, but we're in early stages. So I feel kind of like we're talking in 1994 about the internet.
Tim, thanks again so much for your time and all the insight you've provided today. To learn more about Tim's practice at Holland & Knight, visit the firm's website. As a note, if you're enjoying these podcasts, please subscribe or follow this labor and employment practice area series you're listening to right now. We also are hosting a data privacy and cybersecurity practice area series too. And finally, there is a rotating practice area series that is going on monthly as well. All of these practical guidance podcasts can be found through your favorite podcast provider. And remember, no matter your practice area, if you need practical guidance on how to proceed in your work, check out Lexis's Practical Guidance Research Solution, available now through Lexis. For more information, visit lexis.com. Thanks, and be well.